This is Ozarks at Large. Yesterday, we introduced you to the Ozark chinkapin, a tree that had once been a crucial part of the regional ecosystem, but has now mostly been forgotten, except by a dedicated few who are working to bring the tree back from the brink. Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek tells us how in part two of her story.
In the first half of the story, we took you to Hobbs State Park, where staff and volunteers planted dozens of Ozark chinkapin seeds on a sun-baked hillside.
Look at all the burrs on that one.
Oh, there they are.
One of the people who was crucial in that endeavor is park interpreter Steve Churchill.
Starting this plot in 2014, you can see some of them made it, some of them didn't. We've had replants. Some are coming back, and to see one go this far and produce that many seeds has really makes you feel good.
The seed that grew into the tree Churchill is talking about and the seeds that tree is now producing are part of a plan to restore the Ozark chinkapin to the abundance that existed before 1957. That's when a chestnut blight brought over from Asia made it to the Ozarks. The fungus decimated the Ozark chinkapin population. But as retired trail maintenance supervisor Al Knox found out, some of them survived.
And I had the privilege, the challenge of finding the first chinkapins on this park in 2002.
But the blight hasn't gone away. So Knox says the trees will grow for several years, produce some nuts, and then die.
I've been here 17 years, and I've seen lots of chinkapins that had nuts, but sadly, they have all since died. And right now, I can only think of two trees on this park that have nuts this year.
A very small number of Ozark chinkapins have survived that threshold. These champion trees are more resistant to the blight. And Churchill says those are the ones Hobbs State Park and the Ozark Chinkapin Foundation have been working to reproduce.
And this one particular tree down at our historic area produced quite a bit of seed. And we had learned about the Ozark Chinkapin Foundation based out of Montauk State Park and Steve Boss up in Missouri. And so for several years, we gathered all the seed we could get off the tree and sent it to the Ozark Chinkapin Foundation. Some years after that, 2-3 years, Steve Boss says, how would you like to try some cross-pollination? We'll give you some pollen. You got a good tree there. Let's see what you can do.
Churchill says they cross-pollinated one blight-resistant Ozark chinkapin with several others, something no one had been able to do up to that point.
So we got the pollen. It was a great tree from Mississippi, one from Texas, one from Arkansas, one from Missouri, got the frozen pollen. And boy, you have to do this at the right time. And we just got lucky. We looked at the blooms, the female part on the tree. And when that bloom starts to turn white to yellow, that's the right time.
They hand-pollinated the tree using 50 bags that were color-coded to designate the source of the pollen.
Boy, lo and behold, we had 32 viable seeds. And the reason we were successful was we didn't know what we were doing, and we used lousy bags.
Churchill says they only had white paper bags left over from an event, so they used those. He believes others didn't have any luck with cross-pollination because they were using plastic or wax bags, which trapped moisture released by the trees.
Guess what's going to happen to everything that's inside? It's going to rot. So what we used was these paper bags, and sure, there was moisture that was given off by the plant, but then it just soaked right through the bag. And then these bags were bad, like I said. They weren't terrific bags. And at the right time, when all chance of local pollen was gone, the seams opened up, gave the growing seeds lots of sunlight. And that's why we were successful. We didn't know what we were doing.
Of the 32 seeds sent to the Ozark Chinkapin Foundation, one made it and grew into a tree at a test plot in Missouri. The plot was established by Steve Bost, president and founder of the foundation. Eventually, Churchill says, Bost suggested creating another plot in Arkansas.
You got to plant these things at the right spot. And the best place is a south-facing slope, full sun, well-drained, bad soil, full of rock. Don't use any amendments and do it there.
And that's exactly what they did, with the help of volunteers who, Al Knox says, were given very specific instructions.
The critical one being that you plant half of the seed on top, sticking out, and the other half underground, and the taproot facing down. Those were critical parts of the planting operation.
Knox says Ozark chinkapins grow a very long taproot, which allows them to survive through hot, dry summers.
We had a success rate of about 60 to 70% of those seeds made trees, which is considered very good if you do at least half.
Churchill says since then, some of the trees have died, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Because all these seeds don't have good genetics that we've planted. And so when some of these trees die, they probably died because they weren't good, strong trees. And we're glad to have them out of our plot.
The Hobbs test plot is one of 15 scattered across Missouri and Arkansas. Steve Bowe says one was also recently established in Oklahoma. The exact locations of all of them are kept secret.
Like when we go out to these plots, we have the roads closed, posted signs. We have security cameras up, and if you start talking to anybody that knows anything about it, they'll start getting really quiet if you start talking about this, because we've had to maintain that to be able to be successful at what we're doing. You know, you can have vandalism. You just want to protect something like that.
Bost says between all the test plots, they're growing between 800 and 1,000 seedlings and saplings, in addition to the 45 documented healthy trees found in the wild. Bost says he first learned of the Ozark chinkapin in the 1990s and quickly grew determined to find surviving trees.
And my wife said, "Why are you doing this?" She said, "Why don't you let somebody else do it?" And I said, "Well, nobody's doing it." And I said, "I know as much as anybody does about them." And I thought, you know what, I'm going to see if I can do something about this, make a difference.
Bost established the Ozark Chinkapin Foundation in 2008 and has been working on cross-pollination efforts since then.
We're taking pollen from one large tree, and then I'm drying it, freezing it at -2 degrees Fahrenheit, and we're taking it to other trees and cross-pollinating them. And so we're doing what would happen in nature would take a long time.
He says cross-pollinating two trees that have resistance to the blight amplifies that resistance.
Just basic genetics, you're going to have about 6 seed out of 10 will have about the same characteristics for blight resistance as the parent trees do. About 2 out of 10 will have less resistance than the parent trees do. The other 2 seed that you will have greater resistance than either one of the parent trees do. So that's what we're working on right now.
Thanks to Bo's daughter, the foundation is also using a blight resistance testing method called a leaf assay that can be completed in days rather than years. Bost says it involves inoculating detached leaves with the fungus.
You can tell by the way it reacts to the blight, how quickly it spreads, you can tell how resistant it is to the blight.
The testing will allow the Ozark Chinkapin Foundation to gauge if their breeding projects are growing trees that are more resistant to the blight.
And this wouldn't happen in the wild. We're fast-forwarding by a few hundred or maybe even 1,000 years what would have happened in the wild with these trees. But now it can't happen because the land is so dissected with highways and farms that those trees are like islands out in the Pacific Ocean.
And those islands are not easy to find. But Al Knox knows what it feels like when you do.
It's like finding treasure. It is treasure. It's natural treasure to find one of these trees.
If you think you've found one of these treasures, the Ozark Chinkapin Foundation website has plenty of resources to help with identification. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzana Sitek.
Members of the Ozark Chinkapin Foundation get several Ozark Chinkapin seeds for planting if they sign up. The foundation will hold its annual meeting in October in Jasper. You can find information on all of that by going to ozarkchinkapinmembership.org. And you can find the first part of this story at ozarksatlarge.com.